Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to look at the unfolding of the life of the church in the Acts of the Apostles. Yesterday, we ended with St. Stephen, who's being martyred and brought before the Sanhedrin. He spoke the word of truth to the leaders that were before him. He was under the grace and power of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with that grace. And at the moment he needed the most help, the Lord gave him something that was so precious and so glorious. He gave him a vision of God, of the glory of God in heaven. Here's what we talked about yesterday. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God. So they're coming at him. They're grinding their teeth. They're about to take him out and they're going to stone him. They're enraged. And he's looking up because Jesus opened the heavens for him. The Holy Spirit made it possible for him to see the very glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God, clothed in glory. And then Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man is standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice, and they covered their ears, and they rushed upon him together. They said, "We're going to silence this guy." They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. Here's where Paul, originally Saul, begins to emerge in the story. As they were stoning Stephen called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul was consenting to his execution. So the zealous St. Paul, who he will become, is there, and he's among the crowd. He's among certain people who are there to make sure that they deal with, that they squelch and they silence these Jewish believers in Jesus to put an end to it finally. It's important for us to see here that, again, when Stephen needed the most help, when he needed help from the Lord provided by the grace and power of the Holy Spirit a great miracle. He gave him eyes to see. He saw that heaven had been opened. Really, the death, resurrection, and ascension into glory of Jesus is what opened heaven. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a permanent, you might say, a permanent open heaven. The Catechism says that Jesus interceding for us for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit guarantees the permanent outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So the grace and power that's in Jesus is just being poured out in and through the church. And the Lord wants us to call upon it and to anticipate it, receive it, to walk in it. That's what Stephen is doing here. And he's experiencing that grace, and he's declaring that he sees the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. This is the central proclamation of the church. He's making a proclamation before the Sanhedrin, and he's proclaiming, remember what Jesus said? That he would be, as Pilate and others were cross-examining him, who were going after him. What did Jesus say? That they will see the day's coming when it's going to be revealed who he is. He would be standing at the right hand of God, and Stephen is seeing it. Stephen is confirming it. Stephen's declaring it in the midst of their rage and anger. And then he basically speaks the same words of Jesus. He, with the help of the Holy Spirit, he says to the Lord, Jesus said to the Father, "Father, receive my spirit. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Now here's Stephen. He says to Jesus, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen is making an offering of love, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, living in imitation of Jesus, bearing witness to Jesus. He now becomes a martyr. He makes his life an offering. You know, the book of Revelation says that Jesus made us a kingdom of priests to serve God. One of the variety of descriptions of what Jesus has done for us and accomplished in us. And we join Jesus and making of our lives an offering to God. Make our lives, he says, a living sacrifice to God. We do that every day by obeying God, surrendering to God, in all the little ways, dying to ourselves and making an offering to Jesus and to the Father. The Lord loves that. It's really important. Here's the ultimate offering. happening with Stephen as he's dying in imitation of Jesus and being rejected and despised by Jesus. Of course, Peter, Paul, the others said, when this happens to you, rejoice and don't be afraid. Friends, sometimes we fear the possibility of rejection, of persecution, of being ostracized in some way because of our faith. Don't ever be afraid of that. That's a good thing if that happens to you. If you're standing in charity, if you're standing in charity and witnessing to Jesus and you get rejected, it's a good thing. It's a great blessing. St. Peter says, rejoice because the glory of God comes upon you. Jesus said in the Beatitudes that if it happens, jump for joy. So as we mature in Jesus, as we grow as disciples, one of the things that we need to be able to see and to embrace is this transforming power of the Spirit that helps us be in the world, but not of the world. That is, we're not afraid of the world anymore, and we're not conformed to the patterns of the world. We're not, quote unquote, obeying what the world wants us to say if it contradicts what Christ has called us to do and what he's called us to be. And Jesus said, we don't need to worry about what we're going to say in times of difficulty and trial, that he'll be with us. And here Stephen is. He's proclaiming what he sees. Jesus gave him heavenly help. Stephen wasn't thinking of this beforehand. He wasn't thinking of this part of it, that he would see the glory of God, that he could declare what he was seeing before them. And Jesus wanted the Sanhedrin to see and to hear the religious leaders, the very things Jesus said, the very things the other apostles were beginning to say. He's giving testimony and he's witnessing to what? To a moral code, to a religious idea. No, he's bearing witness to a historical fact, to a living reality, that Jesus, the Son of God, he's called the Son of Man, the title Jesus most used about himself. He is the Messiah. He is God's Son. And where is he? This man from Nazareth, Mary's son, where is he? He's at the right hand of God. And he's clothed in glory. And in him is the beginning of the new creation. This is what the kingdom of God is. The king is on his throne. He's ruling. That's what it means that he's at the right hand of God. All authority and power has been given to Jesus. And Stephen is acknowledging it before the powers that be there in the Sanhedrin and the others who are present. And he wasn't afraid to take whatever they came after him, to give up his life. He made his life an offering. So he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then it says, then he fell on his knees and he cried out in a loud voice. Imagine that scene. Let's just place ourselves in that scene this morning, today. There he was, the panic and the intensity in the room, the rage that's in people. They've begun the process. They're going to stone him to death. They're going to kill him. And he's at peace. And he's radiating the life of God. He's got the face of an angel, they said earlier. And not only does he say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit, look how free he is and how conformed he is to Jesus. And he cries out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He's simply echoing what Jesus said on the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And when he said this, he fell asleep. Isn't that beautiful? So it ends then with, now Saul was consenting to this execution. And then today's reading picks up on that. And then what happened was a severe persecution, it says, broke out in the church of Jerusalem. And the believers were scattered. I mean, there was a focused, determined, strategic effort to arrest, to kill, to do whatever's needed to silence the message of the gospel. It's almost like they were playing whack-a-mole. Every time they killed one or every time they imprisoned one, either they popped up again in another place or someone popped up in their place. Jesus himself is building his church in history. The Holy Spirit, the church is a miracle. It's a work of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and it will never be defeated. It will never be stopped. Jesus will be glorified in it. When he comes again, there will be on the earth a prepared bride with the heart of St. Stephen, with the gaze of St. Stephen, with the longing of St. Stephen and the other martyrs to be united and completely given over to Jesus and free from the intimidation of the world. This is the freedom the Holy Spirit wants to bring us into. So again, today's reading said there broke out a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem and all were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria except the apostles. devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him. They were mourning the loss of their brother, even though they knew he was going home to the Lord. That's totally normal, right? The grieving of the loss of their good brother. And it says, Saul, meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women. He handed them over for imprisonment. Look at the zeal and the fearlessness and the aggression and the kind of character and holy zeal, almost. It's unenlightened zeal. I have to be careful the way I say that. It's unenlightened zeal. But Saul thinks he's serving the Torah, that he's serving God. And he's not. By God's grace, he will come to see it. But he is zealously going door to door and trying to silence the voice that's countering what he believes is God's word. And he handed them over for imprisonment. The reading goes on. It says, now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Isn't that interesting? They were scattered. They left because the severe persecution was breaking out, many of them. Those who had heard the word from the apostles stayed, apparently. And they moved on. And they didn't just simply run and hide. What did they do? They were scattered and they went about preaching the word of God. So what the devil intended to be an end to the spreading of the word, it's the very scattering. The devil always bites his own tail, and the Lord always, it's like the crucifixion itself. Paul is saying, if the devil would have known what God had planned in Jesus on the cross, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory. What looked like his greatest victory, his moment of great victory, to kill and to silence Christ, the Son of God. He shed the blood that set us free. He did the one thing he never should have done. Jesus is many steps ahead of the enemy. The devil's not in charge. The devil's a creature. Jesus is the eternal Son of God. Jesus is completely in charge, and he will extend his church. Nothing will stop what he's got planned for his church. Nothing can stand in the way. No power, no principality anywhere. So the story goes on. Now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria, and he proclaimed the Christ to them. So what's the message? Jesus. What's the message? That he's the Christ. He's the anointed, the Messiah, and he's the Lord. The central thing they proclaimed is Jesus Christ is Lord. And it says, with one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip. And when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing, this is important. Part of the renewal of the church at any time in history, and this moment we're living in now, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, again, what the recent popes have called the grace of a new Pentecost, what it's about is the actual experience of Pentecost. And part of the actual experience of Pentecost is the fulfillment of what Jesus himself said the church and his disciples would do. Greater signs than these will accompany those who believe. So the preaching of the word, the witness of life, and the signs and wonders, all of it together helped them extend the gospel in the world. And for unclean spirits were crying out with loud voices, and possessed people, crippled and paralyzed people were being healed here, it says, and there was great joy in that city. That's what Philip did in the face of persecution and trial. Friends, God has so much more for each and every one of us to be able to come into. No matter how difficult times get, his grace will increase if we give him our entire heart, mind, soul, and strength. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.